Hi there, I'm Jocelyn Seymour, teacher, former school leader, author and all-round cheerleader for teachers everywhere. Learning to read and write is a matter of social justice. Every child deserves to learn through evidence-informed practices, and every teacher deserves to be fully supported to make that happen. The Structured Literacy Podcast goes beyond the program to get to the heart of what it's really like to build a structured approach to literacy across a school. Let's go. Hello there. My name is Jocelyn. Welcome to the Structured Literacy Podcast, the place where we help you answer all of your questions about structured literacy. This episode, we are going to be exploring what the term authentic text really means in the Australian curriculum and what that means for us as teachers who teach beginning readers. Now, when the words predictable text were removed from the Australian curriculum in 2022, supporters of structured literacy cheered very loudly. For years, arguments against the inclusion of predictable or leveled text were met with the response, but it says in the curriculum that children should be using them. And you'd think that having those words removed from the curriculum would be the end of the discussion, but no. The reason that this discussion isn't over is that the words predictable text have been replaced with the words authentic text. And the use of this word authentic has caused quite a bit of confusion amongst teachers, leaders, and systems. Now, on the one hand, people think that authentic texts are books like picture books and non-fiction texts that you would find in the school library. Other people, however, think that the term authentic text is a replacement for the term predictable text. As a result of this differing of opinion, the hoped-for removal of predictable and leveled text from our early years classrooms has not occurred. And while individual teachers may wish to make the move away from predictable or leveled text, many systems and principles are still hanging on. And this is a real problem. There, of course, are several reasons why continuing to include predictable texts in our early reading instruction is not a good idea, and I'm going to unpack three of them for you today. The first one, and most important one, is that predictable or leveled texts require children to guess at unknown words. When we don't know the code of the text we're reading, our only strategy is to look at the picture, think about what makes sense, and guess the word that should be there. Now, this may involve looking at the first letter and thinking about what other words start with that letter, having a look at the picture and thinking what makes sense. And this is called three cueing. It is an extremely ineffective, inaccurate, and inefficient method of decoding or lifting words from the page. Early leveled texts are designed to encourage the use of every strategy except sounding out using phonics knowledge, which is the complete opposite of the recommendations about how we help children become strong readers. The second reason that it's a bad thing to use predictables or leveled texts in early reading is that it legitimizes the use of benchmark reading assessment. Because after all, if the children are reading leveled texts, why not assess them with a leveled text assessment? Now, I spoke about benchmark assessment in episode number 7, and you can have a listen about why it's so hard to give up these long-valued assessments that we've come to rely on. The thing is, they don't actually mean anything. So have a listen to that episode for more information. The third and final reason that I'm going to outline today is that including leveled text in our instructional repertoire means that it makes it harder for us to move away from a sight word-driven approach to teaching reading. For too many years, we have drilled children in sight words because that's how we thought we could help them achieve on the benchmark assessment, because they couldn't sound out the words. So if we teach them a bunch of sight words, they'll be able to achieve a higher level of accuracy on the benchmark reading assessment. Now, our focus in early reading instruction needs to be on helping students learn about the alphabetic principle and developing the skills to lift words from the page using code knowledge. This is established through research over many, many years, over many, many studies. There is no argument amongst reading researchers about this point anymore. Don't get me wrong, though. Some irregular high-frequency words in the mix are necessary for students to be able to read sentences and text. I mean, after all, words like is, was, the, has, and are all needed to make that happen. It's pretty hard to write sentences without those common verbs. The second benefit of including a small, and if you could see my fingers right now, I have my thumb and my pointer finger quite close together, a small number of irregular high-frequency words in learning is that it helps children learn to understand that we actually have quite a high degree of variation in our language. The English orthography is what's called opaque or pretty dense, and that means there's lots of variables that go on. We don't want children thinking that the English language is only ever regular, that we have a one-to-one correspondence between the letters and the sounds that we use. So learning the word is helps children learn that the letter S can be used to represent the Z sound. It can also be used for S, and that the letter Z, when they get to it in the code, in the scope and sequence, is also used for Z. So this very gentle setting up of what's called a set for variability is a useful thing. We don't want to give a false impression of how our language works. However, this learning is done in the context of our work with decodable text, not as standalone activities, and never, ever, ever, ever write this down as whole words or global shapes, because that's not actually how we read words. And again, that's really well established in the research evidence. Now that we've talked about why this is problematic, why the inclusion of predictable text is not a good idea, let's examine what the curriculum actually has to say on the matter. Well, version 9 of the Australian curriculum defines authentic texts as real, living, or natural language texts which may entertain, inform, or persuade. And this fits with that definition of books we would find in the school library that would be rich picture books, that would be non-fiction texts on a range of topics. The foundation content descriptors include that students read to decode and process words, to construct meaning using written and visual print and non-print texts. Now, that whole thing there's a little bit confusing to me, and sometimes it sort of doesn't all make sense. But the thing that is critical here is decode. Another content descriptor says that students use developing phonic knowledge and that they monitor meaning using context and emerging grammatical knowledge. So we're not throwing meaning out with the bathwater here. Meaning is absolutely used. It's used to understand text. It's not used to lift words from the page. The argument that students should be reading level text simply does not hold up to scrutiny when we consider these words, using developing phonic knowledge. The students don't have the code knowledge to sound out level text, so they can't possibly use their developing phonic knowledge, because they don't have it yet. Level texts are full of words that are chosen for every reason other than the code knowledge they contain. The other clue about what children should be reading comes from the achievement standard itself. And in Foundation, it says they read words, including consonant, vowel, consonant words, and some high frequency words. And the word some there is included. So when we look at the level text, and if you've got them in your classroom, go and have a little look at the sorts of words that are included. I can tell you now, most of them are not going to be consonant, vowel, consonant words. They're going to be words that have much more complex phonic structure and have many syllables and all of the things. When we look at the Year 1 curriculum, the content descriptor still says they read using developing phonic knowledge, and the achievement standard says they blend short vowels, common long vowels, to read one and two syllable words with common letter patterns. The important word here is blend, and that means that we're sounding out using our phonics knowledge. In Year 2, the achievement standard says they use phonic and morphemic knowledge and grammatical patterns to read unfamiliar words and most high frequency words. When we get to year two, the inclusion of morphemic knowledge and grammatical patterns is entirely appropriate because those students, all things going well, have a large amount of code knowledge. We've taught them alternate spellings of the different phonemes. We've taught them about the conventions and the guidelines about when this grapheme is used instead of that one. So the introduction of other sorts of knowledge to lift words from the page is necessary and appropriate. At no point in any of this does the Australian curriculum discuss any other strategy than using word structure with our phonics and our morphology to lift words from the page. There is no mention of a range of strategies or anything related to three cueing that those leveled texts are designed to encourage. Now, the use of leveled texts for our beginning readers is simply incompatible with what the Australian curriculum is asking for in the content descriptors and the achievement standard. But wouldn't it be great if we could just ask the person who wrote the Australian Curriculum version 9 updates what they meant by authentic texts? Well, listeners, that's exactly what I did. Now, I have known Jasmine Shannon, who you may know from the Reading Science and Schools Facebook group. I've known her for quite a number of years now, and we've worked together in the Northern Territory Department of Education, and we've stayed in touch over the years. I spoke with Jasmine and I asked her, what does that even mean? And she said, in no circumstances was the word authentic intended to mean predictable or leveled. Authentic means the books you find at the library, the rich picture books, and the nonfiction books on a range of topics. Until children can decode them for themselves, we take on the role of the decoder and we read out loud to them. The final part of this discussion is to answer the question about when might children be able to read leveled texts. And Jasmine and I discussed this as well, and we are of one mind and on the same page. Basically, the answer is when they can. And what that means is there are some prerequisites that students need to have achieved before we even think about putting a leveled text in front of them. The first one is they have to be able to blend multisyllable words. They need developed phonemic skills. If they are still sounding out consonant, vowel, consonant words, at, cat, and that's where they're up to, they are not ready for anything beyond a decodable. And if they're not blending words at that level fluently and beginning to build some automaticity around that, they probably shouldn't have big, long decodables either. So they have to have well-developed phonemic skills. They also need to have knowledge of the full alphabetic code. So they need to know about the alternate spellings. They need to be able to use these automatically. They need to know about common suffixes and prefixes, and in the suffixes, they need to know about suffixing conventions. So if we want to turn hope into hoping, we have to drop the E and add the ing. Those things need to be explicitly taught so that when they read, they're not saying op, ing, and in fact, they really need to know about the doubling rule as well, where there's a single short vowel, we need a double consonant. Teaching all of this in year two and even year one, if students are ready for that, means that they are going to be well equipped to manage a book that doesn't have everything be the most obvious decodable structures ever. They also need to be able to tackle unknown words without guessing. So when the students come across a word they don't know, do they sound it out or do they have a guess? Now, sounding out and not quite pronouncing things correctly is okay, actually, because the role of phonics is not to make everything transparent. The role of phonics is to get us to an approximation of the pronunciation of a word that we can then use to figure out what the word is. And I'll give you an example. So I'm looking at my computer and I can see the word browser. So if the student reads that and they sound it out like this, browser, browser, and they've learned that the OW can represent OW and O, and they say browser, oh, browser. That's great. That's what we want them doing. And that's what I mean about the approximation of the pronunciation. And then they use their phonics knowledge. They use their spoken vocabulary. They use, yes, I'm going to say it, the context of what they're reading to finalize this word and confirm it for themselves. This is not guessing. This is not looking at the picture. This is not using every other strategy but phonics. This is what we want them to do. But they can't do that until they can blend, until they understand how multisyllable words work, and until they have a high level of code knowledge. So, everyone, if you are fighting the good fight in your school, that authentic text in the curriculum doesn't mean level text, please know that you are on the right track. I bet there are a number of people kind of breathing a sigh of relief right now. There are many common sense reasons why the term authentic text in the curriculum doesn't mean leveled or predictable text. But if they aren't getting you very far, just say, because Jasmine Shannon, who was on the team who actually wrote that part of the curriculum, said so. I can tell you right now, that's what I'll be saying into the future. Happy teaching, everyone. Bye. Thanks for joining me for today's episode. For more information about resourcing and professional learning to support you in your structured literacy journey, visit www.jocelynseemereducation.com.